35 people, including 5 children, were deported from Ireland to Nigeria last night. It's the third such deportation by chartered flight since February. The Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, is with us now. Minister, we'll speak about the deportations in a moment. You've been listening to Aoife Hegarty there. What's your reaction to the RTÉ documentary?
Well, unfortunately, I didn't see it, Cian, but I've heard a lot about it. From what I've heard, it sounds like it was a very good piece of investigative journalism. I want to commend Aoife and the people who worked with her. Just in respect to the point she finished with there about adult safeguarding, like in the programme for government, there is a commitment to develop a policy in respect of adult safeguarding, and that will ultimately result in the publication of a health adult safeguarding bill in the near future. I think, obviously, the broadcast will certainly have had an impact in terms of ensuring that we bring that forward promptly. It is important to say, however, that there is still legislation in place governing much of the issues that were in the documentary. But clearly, I'd agree with Ronan Collins and indeed Aoife that we do need to advance the Health Adult Safeguarding Bill.
When can that be done or how soon?
Well, I've listened to Kieran O'Donnell, his junior minister within the department, with Jennifer Carroll McNeill. I've no doubt that this will be an issue of priority for them. Obviously, legislation has to be drafted in the first instance within the department through the production of the heads of bill. But I hope work is progressing on that in the Department of Health, and I'm sure we'll be getting an update in more detail in due course on it.
Do you have confidence in HICWA?
I do. I do have confidence in HICWA. Like, we're always going to find ourselves, I regret to say, in situations where standards have not been complied with, whether it's in the nursing home sector or indeed other sectors. The way we seek to ensure it doesn't become too common is through having HICWA in place for the purpose of carrying out investigations. I must say I was pleased to hear Aoife say that in respect of the residents in Port Laois, that last February HICWA instituted proceedings in respect of it and individuals are not being taken in there now. I'm also conscious what she said about the Beneven Manor home, however. But yeah, I do have confidence in HICWA, and I know from listening to Kieran O'Donnell that he was in discussions with the chief inspector and regulatory officials within his department. And this issue is a priority for Kieran and indeed the government.
Minister, we'll move on to the deportations. 35 people, including 5 children, were sent from Ireland to Nigeria last night on a chartered flight. Give us the details of that.
Well, this is the third chartered flight that has been used since we came into government. The first two were to Georgia, as you're aware. Last night was the first flight that went to Nigeria. It went late last night. It landed in Lagos early this morning. There were 23 men on board, 7 women, 5 children. Listen, it's not a very pleasant part of the job, I'll be frank with you. But in terms of ensuring that we have a rules-based system in respect of immigration, it is absolutely essential that we have a response and a consequence to people who have been served with a deportation order yet do not comply with it. If we don't have a response to that, if there isn't a consequence to it, it's going to mean that the system will become meaningless, and it'll make no difference whether you are granted asylum or whether you're refused asylum. All the outcomes will remain the same.
Well, this operation brings the number of people removed by chartered flight to 106. How many more chartered flights like this, how many operations like this can we expect to see by the end of the year?
Well, it's going to be a fairly frequent and regular response to the issue. Obviously, the preference would be if individuals who are served with deportation orders left the country voluntarily. And I'm pleased to say that a lot of people are engaging with my officials in the Department of Justice in order to ensure that that can happen. That's the more effective and, I suppose, safer way of doing it. But people have to know that if they're served with a deportation order, it has meaning. And the meaning is that you're not entitled to stay in Ireland. Listen, we're an extremely welcoming, generous country. There are tens of thousands of people that come to Ireland every year for the purpose of work visas. There are very many people who claim asylum and are granted asylum here. But if it is the case that you're not permitted to stay, whether you've overstayed your work visa or whether you haven't been granted asylum, there must be a consequence. Otherwise, the whole system becomes meaningless.
Well, 35 people sent back to Nigeria last night. What was the cost?
The cost was €324,714 of chartering the flight. And that's obviously not just to bring the 35 individuals out to Nigeria. Obviously, they have to be accompanied by a significant number of members of An Garda Síochána Síochána. And the cost also included bringing back members of An Garda Síochána. Can I just commend An Garda Síochána and indeed members of the Irish Prison Service in Clover Hill and officials in my department for doing what was a very difficult and challenging job well.
Are these the type of costs that we're looking at going forward?
Well, that's the standard price in respect of commercial flights and chartering flights. But you have to look at the alternative to it. Like, my department is spending $1.2 billion this year just in terms of accommodation for people who are seeking asylum. We do it because we're obliged to do so. But like, there has to be, as I say, a consequence. If you seek asylum and you're refused at first instance, if you appeal and you're refused, like, if we don't do anything, should the system become meaningless
whether you apply or you don't apply? Minister Brophy says the amount is value for money. Do you think it's value for money?
Yeah, I do think it's value for money. I do think it's value for money in terms of not just in terms of the cost of a charter flight, but also it is sending out a very clear message that deportation orders mean something. And I regret to say, if you have a deportation order, you're required to leave the country. If you don't do so voluntarily, it'll be enforced.
The Irish Refugee Council says that forced deportation is costly and ineffective.
Well, I would like to hear, and I respect the Irish Refugee Council, but what do they say should be the response to somebody who has received a deportation order and doesn't comply with it? Like, I would have thought it's in the interest of people who are granted asylum that persons who are rejected for asylum are forced to leave. Otherwise, the asylum system becomes meaningless. Everyone, it doesn't matter whether you get it or you don't, so you can stay anyway. You can't.
Minister, a judge in County Kildare has spoken about the case of Evan Fitzgerald, who died during a shooting incident in Carlow Town on Sunday evening. District Court Judge Desmond Zidane said it had been reported that Mr. Fitzgerald was on bail on firearms charges at the time. He said there were a lot of headlines about a man on bail, and those headlines omitted certain key things. He said that Gardaí consented to bail and therefore he had no power to go behind that. Is that a challenge?
Well, can I just say in the first instance, I don't want to talk about individual cases. I'm conscious that Evan Fitzgerald is deceased, but there's also two other individuals who are before the courts. So I don't want to comment in respect of specifically what Judge Zidane said. Obviously, Judge Zidane's perfectly entitled to talk about it since he is the judge who has session of the case. In terms of the bail laws, they are a challenge to us. That's unquestionably the case. That's why I've asked Larkin Staines, senior counsel, to conduct a review of the bail laws, and I've asked him to produce a report to me in terms of recommendations for how it should be changed within a period of 4 months of his engagement. But like, there's conflicting issues when it comes to bail. Obviously, at one level, you can't incarcerate somebody who hasn't been convicted of a criminal offence. But yet, on the other hand, people can be refused bail if they're a flight risk or if there is a likelihood the court believes that they're going to commit a further serious offence. So that's a balancing act that the courts have weighed up to date. I just want to see if there's anything we can do to strengthen the bail laws.
But is that general challenge going to be part of the review of bail laws?
The review of bail laws is, and Larkin Staines has been given full ambit to review the bail laws in terms of the what's provided within them at present. But we also have to be conscious as well, Cian, that like every person who's charged with a summary offence, namely a minor offence, can't be incarcerated. Now, I know in terms of what we were talking about in Kildare wasn't a summary offence, but like when we're talking about the bail laws, like we're not in a situation where we can put in prison every person who's charged before the district court. We simply won't have the space to do that, and it wouldn't be feasible or fair otherwise.
Minister for Justice Jim O'Callaghan, thanks for coming in to us this afternoon.